Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. Come on. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answer.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Yo. Welcome to this. It's Sports Talk. It's Friday. It's the weekend. It's the 5 o'clock hour. It's weird. Thanks for tuning in. Strangest story of the day, kind of get in line. From Penn Live. So despite numerous warnings from health officials to avoid large groups of people due to coronavirus, the Happy Valley cruise went on as planned. People in Penn State, Franco Harris, Sue Paterno, 171 people. By the way, originally 198 were set to go. They departed from Miami. They're going to cruise for 5 nights. And they got on a cruise ship with what is happening right now. Is it me, or does that just seem stupid and arrogant? And I've brought this up before, but one of the great lines from my dad many years ago was, there's nothing wrong with being stubborn, there's nothing wrong with being stupid. The combination could be deadly. But, of course, we're talking about Penn State, which has been willing to look the other way at awful, horrible things because they're morons. So, well done there. The vice president of men's basketball, the NCAA vice president of men's basketball, his name is Dan Gavitt, said once they realized that they couldn't hold the NCAA tournaments over the course of 3 weeks, they were scrambling and coming up with a plan for a 16-team event, basically to just start with a Sweet 16. By the way, that wouldn't have caused any kind of uproar, would it? They said they were into the wee hours on Wednesday trying to figure out alternative models. Gavitt made the presentation to the men's basketball selection idea, and they would start playing games at State Farm Arena in Atlanta, and then, you know, that's the city was supposed to host the Final Four at Mercedes-Benz Stadium April 4th and 6th. So they thought 8 or 9 of the 32 D1 conferences could have been represented. And while the idea, quote, was far from perfect, and he said that they were actually kind of hopeful, then the committee all of a sudden was like, and what really decided for most people was when Rudy Gobert was confirmed coronavirus positive, it was like, that's that. And they made the cancellation yesterday. So I think there are too many people out there that are like, well, that was harsh. They should have considered a postponement over a cancellation. And we'll post the interview. We were fortunate enough about a half hour ago to talk with Rob Mullins, the Oregon athletic director, who talked about the logistical challenges and all that would have had to have gone into it, and how at a certain point it's just not feasible. And it's more about community safety and health. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel injection hotline. Some good stories. People like Kevin Love and Giannis and Zion Williamson have been making pledges and contributions to help arena workers who will be out of work for at least the next month. So a little happiness among the more depressing stories. And I mentioned earlier that I think because we do this, we're more in the middle of it and coming up with conversations and talking with you guys and taking texts and tweets and emails. And, you know, sometimes you don't come up for air. And last night, so as you know, this show ends at 6. And I got home. I had a few things to do before I could finally hunker down. Now, during a normal March 12th Thursday night, I probably would have raced home to watch all the conference tournaments.
You wouldn't have had to have raced home. You would have been watching them all day. You wouldn't have worked yesterday.
No.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, you got the wrong tournament. Oh, it was a Pac-12
tournament. I don't even know what week it is anymore,
no.
Steve. I'm sorry.
So without really kind of putting two and two together, I just went about my business, and I got home. And I remember I poured myself a glass of wine. I took my laptop out. I took my notepad out. I got my highlighter and a pen. And I sat down. And I was like, it hit me. Oh, my God. We're supposed to be watching all this now, and it's gone. All of it. March Madness, out of here. Selection Sunday. Nope. Brackets. Sorry. Special section every Monday I get this time of year of USA Today. Well, there's no point to that. The whining about a 20-13 team who ran eighth in their conference getting snubbed. Nope, we're not going to have that conversation.
They were snubbed.
And it hit me last night. And I was like, wow, blank you, coronavirus. What you have done is unforgivable. May you catch yourself. Anyway, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's get to the phones. You can also text us 321-0824. Bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. What's up?
Well, you know what? You just talked about having a glass of wine last night. A big glass of whiskey would ease the pain much more.
Yeah.
Much better. Much better.
I'm not adverse.
what you talked about just a minute ago about the starting with Kevin Love, the players contributing to so that the staff at the Coliseums got paid. Mark Cuban actually did that for the entire staff about 3 days before that.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. You know, some of the NBA teams are started a GoFundMe. And it's like, you think, especially with some of these people, owners who are, you know, billionaires, it shouldn't be that big a deal to just cover a month's salary of your employees.
Yeah, Cuban did a 30-day thing, I think it was, for everybody. And I thought that was a pretty good deal, a pretty smart move, you know, on his part. It'd make the fans really... the staff really like him a lot when this is all over.
Yeah, there have been times where you might disagree with something he said or did, but it looks like as far as being an owner and a boss, his heart is usually in the right place.
Yep. Okay, I'll see you.
Thank you. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Steven. Steven, good afternoon. How's it going?
Going fantastic, Steve Cannon. I want to say, what is your heart telling you? Do you think the athletes for March Madness, do you think maybe when the virus goes away, do you think they will be able to return? Because I want to say, as a fan council for Team USA, I want every athlete in the nation to rest their bodies and to get prepared for March Madness when the virus goes away, for them to play their sports again.
All right. Thanks, Steven. Well, March Madness is done until next year. It's not a postponement, it's a cancellation. So I do concur that we do wish all the athletes who've traveled and been on planes and might be a little more susceptible all be well and be in good health. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Tim. Tim, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
Hey, doing pretty good, Steve. Thanks. Hey, maybe we could have the women play just one game. South Carolina, Oregon Ducks, check everybody for the virus, get them on some neutral court, and just play one damn game.
Yeah, there's been talk about it.
I don't know, man. That would be great.
Yeah, unfortunately, it won't happen, and especially, I appreciate the call, Tim. Like we said, right now, nobody's getting on a plane and going to an arena and playing anything. So it looks like Blake Griffin has now gotten on the bandwagon as players pledge donations to arena workers. And, yeah, normally I would say because when you are a fan and you do a show like this and you listen to a show like this, it's always about magnitude. I mean, we're talking about the NFL and the collective bargaining agreements between billionaire owners and, you know, the players' union, which is very powerful. And obviously, its members earn a lucrative living. But when you think about lockouts and work stoppages and strikes and this very unique case where a virus has caused a shutdown of the sports world, I mean, your first instinct isn't, well, this is really going to affect the guy who runs the parking concession. But those are the ones who are really going to get hit the most. I mean, Mark Cuban and the billionaire owners, they'll survive the 30 days, whatever may come their way. The players, for the most part, I mean, you know, Steph Curry and these guys and James Harden and those who are making the $32 to $35 million a year, missing a month. And, well, they're still going to be collecting their pay, so they're obviously going to be fine. But, you know, how many people who help you to your seat or work the information counter at an arena or work as a waiter or a waitress or a service person at the sports bar locally that sees their business go up by a substantial percentage during games? And is that their second job? Is that their main source of income? Are they a student working their way through school? What does it mean to have the plug pulled on that revenue source for them? The answer is a lot. I can't imagine somebody working part-time at a place like, you know, Madison Square Garden or the Smoothie Center who puts in, you know, 37 hours extra a month for their 4 or 5 hours during a game is doing that, you know, taking their limo from their gated community you know, just throw a few bucks into the coffers. So they're the ones who are really getting hit hard by this, and it's nice to see that it's being addressed.
I went to a restaurant last night for dinner, and we sat in the bar area, and it's normally, you know, the bar areas where you got the sports on, you got people drinking beers, hanging out or whatever. There was prime dinner time, like right after we got off work at like 6:30, prime dinner time, hanging out, and The Office was on TV and the Travel Channel. And my girlfriend's like, oh, super cool, we get to watch The Office. How cool is that? I was like, there's no sports to watch. Like, that's why. Like,
watching sitcoms in a bar.
Yeah, with the,
that's weird.
With, like, the captions on. Your other option was the Travel Channel, and I think they were doing something with ghosts, which is probably way more interesting and scary if you've got the sound on and you're watching it at home. But, like, we've got ESPN on back here, and they're just, like, talking about coverage and things. And it's like there's no events on that you can just throw your eye at, figure out what's going on, what's happening here, who's doing what, what's the score of that game, are they going to go to my favorite team next? There's nothing happening. It's the weirdest thing ever.
It is the weirdest thing ever. That's kind of the consensus. By the way, somebody texted me, do they have to sanitize all these arenas? How long does the virus live? You're really going to ask the sports talk host about that? I think you need a lab coat and a degree to answer that question.
I have seen plenty of people, little clips of, you know, the Thunder Arena after the big scare way back on. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? I don't even remember. I think it was Wednesday.
Who the hell knows?
I think it was Wednesday. But I remember, you know, the Utah bench area was being wiped down by employees wearing masks and gloves, and they had some sort of cleaner and people walking, you know, event staff people walking around and cleaning things up and sanitizing things. And beat writers for the Giants are reporting that, you know, players are welcome to finally come back to the clubhouse after a couple of days because that's gone through some sort of deep clean of some kind. So things are cleanable, and apparently that helps? Question mark? I don't know.
Clean seems better, but for the exact value, again, go to a medical website, call your doctor, call the local, call the Center for Disease Control, call Health and Human Services. If you want to know who was playing third base when the Yankees clinched the 96 World Series, I'm your guy. But
who was it, by
Charlie
the way?
Hayes.
Oh, okay.
Thank
you for answering. It was going to bother me if you didn't tell me.
He actually caught the pop-up from, I forgot who was up for the Braves in foul territory, raced to the mound and starting the celebration with then-closer John Wetland because they had a guy named Rivera who was his setup guy.
Did he do the put the ball in his back pocket thing to save it for later?
I don't know. I think he did kind of caught it just above his head and arms up in the air and race to the mound. I don't recall what he did with the baseball. Like, who was it? Was it Euclid? No. The first baseman for the Red Sox ended up, like, selling the ball and starting a college fund for his kid.
I feel like it was Euclid. I do. His was one of the first ones that I vividly remember. He caught the ball. He threw his hands up. He threw his hand back into his glove, and he went right into his back pocket. Because like once the madness of the celebration starts, like you're going to lose track of where your glove goes, where the ball goes. Is somebody going to mess with you and throw another ball out onto the field? But if you got a ball on your back pocket, you're going to be able to feel it the whole time. And if it pops out, you'll be able to kind of, you know, center yourself and find it again.
Because everybody wants to get the last out, especially something like that. I mean, they were up 3-0 in games. They were up 3-0 in the score. So it wasn't like it was tight and you were worried, right? You know, if this guy gets on, what the hell is going to happen? And the last hitter, I think, was Renteria, who hit a comebacker to the closer, Fulk, who then flipped it over to first base. And let me bring up the box score here it was Doug Mankiewicz who was in as a defensive replacement because Ortiz had a play because they were in a National League park.
Wow.
So he couldn't just DH. And because he was Doug Mankiewicz, he didn't, you know, he wasn't making Ortiz money. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let me double check. Yeah, it was Edgar Renteria was at bat. Because he's a rarity.
He was World Series MVP, two-time MVP Edgar Renteria.
He was the last at bat in two World Series. He singled off Mesa to win it in 97. He made the last out in 04, and then he had that crazy series for the Giants when they won one of their three World Series. All right, 284-85. By the way, we were talking about games there. Accidentally
Woo!
Wound up talking about sports and games and plays and players and bases and balls. It's nuts. It's mayhem, I tell you. All right, to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go. Let's bring in Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, good afternoon. That's a great baseball game, Edgar Renteria. Hey, I thought last night I took a step back, took a breath, and I came to the realization they had to cancel the men's and women's basketball tournaments because if you really think about the logistics of what was about to happen is you were going to have teams and all their fans traveling cross-country all over from one community to the other community, staying in hotels, eating in restaurants, going to arena games, and then getting on their planes and flying back to the communities they come from. So it was just going to be like a perfect vessel for trying to mix this virus up around the entire country into every community. So they did the right thing because it could have been it would only make the situation way worse.
No, and
that
as,
kind of an event.
You know, Mike, as you move past the frustration and time rolls on a day into another day, you realize it was a no-brainer. This is exactly what they had to do. And fortunately, they listened to, you know, medical experts and people who, you know, have expertise in the area of disease control, and rather than look at the money or the politics, we're like, yeah, forget about it.
I say that you guys, the sportscaster industry, is one that's going to be hit hard, because last night I was watching SVP Sports Center. I was flipping their channels, and I had to laugh because they were doing a what if of the last four in and the first 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh boy, it's going to be a tough time for these guys.
Yeah, and that was only day two.
Right on. Take it easy and have a good week and be safe.
Yeah, you too, Mike. I appreciate the call. Great stuff. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. If you want to jump on in, you could also hit us up on the text line, 321-0824. We're talking about maybe Monday is Movie Review Monday. Are we going to go official there?
Oh, I was just about to. I was literally typing out the tweet. Yeah, I want to start Movie Review Monday, mostly as I'm going to have a lot of free time with no sports happening. I have pretty famously on this show not seen movies. They don't have to be sports movies. I haven't seen any of The Godfathers. Let's throw that out there. I know that's kind of one of my more famous sins, movie sins.
Infamous
sins, yeah. Yeah, so send me movie suggestions at Rick Nodgers. Tweet him at 953 The Score, and let me know some suggestions of things that I should watch, and I will try and get to them over some weekends. Maybe I'll watch two movies. We'll have a couple of movie reviews, but I'm realizing our segments on Mondays are all based on sporting events happening. With the Richter scale and line them up, and they can't happen anymore because there's nothing going on. I figured I'll watch some movies, I'll learn some things, I'll watch some things, and I'll come back on Mondays, and we can talk about what we watched, what I thought of them, and we'll make it a thing.
And by the way, for listeners, if you go to the movies, if you see a movie you haven't watched, oh, you really got to chime in. We're going to need you here big. Huge.
And I would prefer that these movies be watchable on a streaming platform. I don't necessarily want to have to go to a movie theater. I don't know if they're open, if they're closed.
Yeah, I'm not going to a movie theater.
I'd like to start catching up on movies. You know, let's start with some older ones. Are they on Netflix? Are they on Amazon? Are they for rent somewhere? We'll try and figure this out. So I'm just about to put that out on Twitter, at Rick Nodgers, at 953 The Score. Movie Review Monday is
movie
coming.
Movie Review Monday. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back.
A movie break.
We'll have a Coors Light update and more sports talk next. 95.3, The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Guaranty RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Guaranty.com.
In all practicality, I don't think there's any way that they're postponing, but I can't see any way that they would, you know, play it at a later date. I think it's just how in the world could they work it into the schedule? It wouldn't be fair to any other tournament that's later. So, I think we're probably going to miss the Masters this year. That's just my opinion, but I think it makes logical sense.
The GOAT, Jack Nicklaus, saying, yeah, don't expect to see a Masters tournament. By the way, of all the movies you might be pondering, somebody said they could tell you to skip Godfather 3.
Well, I have to get through 1 and 2 first.
And that's a while.
And I feel like if you've watched 1 and 2, you kind of have to see 3. I have to know why 3 is bad.
Well, I don't think it's bad, so I was going to disagree.
Oh, well, yeah, which one? Is that the one where, like, the second one's better than the first one?
Some people think 2 is better than 1.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I consider them 1 and 1A. They're just both brilliant.
I haven't
brilliant seen accomplishments in cinematography.
I don't know where they're available to stream online. They might make the list. I don't know. I've got a lot of movies in my Netflix queue that I haven't seen before.
You
got to
see one first. One's not as eternal as two. Two's a 3-hour and 15-minuter.
Oof.
And it's deep. It bridges generations.
It's like a baseball game.
From New York to Vegas to Long Island to Sicily and Palermo. I mean, yeah, you're scanning the globe to bring you the greatest in sport. So the text line, the suggestion, not only there, should our show be called Stuff Talk?
That's very good.
I thought that was pretty clever.
Stuff Talk with Steve Tanner. Yeah, because it's not sports. I mean, every once in a while, I'll be
occasionally
like, hey, remember, this is sports talk, and sports aren't still not happening, guys. And then we'll go back to the stuff.
By the way, now some TV stations and news outlets are having to run reports encouraging people not to drink bleach to prevent coronavirus. Don't drink bleach.
I had that thought over the weekend. I was like, maybe it would be a funny joke to, like, you know, I wonder if the Onion wouldn't do it, because people, I think the Onion is real at
right,
this point.
Right, right, right.
But, like, I was kind of thinking, I wonder if there are people out there who are trying to, like, post fake memes about how bleach will cure the coronavirus, because, you know, bleach kills 99.9% of bacteria. Just drink, have a cup of bleach. It'll clear right out.
It's, oh my God, how dumb do you have to be? What's that called? Selective. First, you get into the Darwin Awards and things like that. But my heavens to Murgatroyd, what the hell is going on? I tell you what. Normally, my day consists of Monday to Friday. I get to work, and I've got my laptop. I've got a device, another computer belongs to the station that stays here, and I have ESPN up almost all day long. I think I logged on to it 3 different times today for like 10 minutes each. It's like the S is not working. The sports.
Also the E. The entertainment has not been great either.
No, it's been very telling as far as where we've landed. And it's nuts. This is absolutely nuts. By the way, for some of you who have sent us your brushes with greatness, some good pictures there. But if you send it to our text line, 3210824, let me know who you are and when it was from. Talking about superstitions in sports. Be it lucky ball markers in golf. I don't know where that came from. The T-shirt you wear under a uniform. Just whatever superstitions or traditions people do to keep them, in their mind, to make them play better.
Going along with your brushes with greatness, send those photos to @953thescore. Tweet us pictures of your pets, cats, dogs, cows, animal, fish, reptiles,
cows,
whatever.
Cows.
I don't know if you got a farm, got a pet cow, whatever. You can send it to us. We'll be and movie reviews. So that's the listener's homework over the weekend. Send us stuff, please.
I remember when Mattingly was the first baseman for the Yankees, and He had a tradition, a superstition. So as a first baseman, you're responsible. You go out the inning after you made your third out, and you throw infield practice. So he had like a guy who, if you ever saw Mattingly come off the field as a Yankee, he'd run into the dugout with his mitt open. Guy would throw him the ball, and he would keep it the same place every game he played. And you know, then go out there and throw ground balls for, Bucky Dent and Willie Randolph and whoever the hell was playing third base. And I always used to watch him and be like, there it is. It almost gave me comfort to know that every single time, and he'd run in, and wherever he sat on the bench, he just would reach over like his shoulder and put it, and he always did the same thing every single solitary time. Somebody was bringing. Oh yeah, I know. Somebody said, "What's the best Seinfeld season?" I should rank them. I don't know, man. I think I go with season 4. Season 3, you had some classics, the library with Bookman. Huh? Seinfeld, funny man. You think everything's a joke. When they got lost in the parking garage, the red dot on the cashmere sweater that George tried to blame the cleaning lady with after he slept with her. And the guy who ran Pendant Publishing, Elaine's boss, then George got hired there. I'm going to have to fire you for sleeping with the cleaning woman. Who told you that? She did, George. Was that wrong? Because had I known, that was also the season with the Pez dispenser, Jerry and Elaine fixing George up with the whiny woman who would eventually become Janet on Friends. That was the limo season when Jerry and George took the limo that was supposed to be for the neo-Nazi who was going to speak at Madison Square Garden. That was the Keys episode when Kramer, I broke the covenant of the Keys. And it led into the next year where Jerry and George went to L.A. to find Kramer, and he was suspected of being the Smog Strangler. And I'll tell you what, yeah, for those of you who are now on the Curb Your Enthusiasm bandwagon, Sunday nights on HBO, this season of Curb, in my opinion, may match any season in any sitcom ever. Yes, I went that deep. The episode with John Hamm of Mad Men fame this past Sunday, I was giggle cough laughing. I was laughing so hard. He is researching a role for a movie, and there's a character based on Larry David, who's the biggest jerk in the world. He may not be in real life. His character on Curb, he's worse than George Costanza by a mile.
It seems very meta. Instead of his life earlier becoming Seinfeld, now his show character is also getting a movie about him, like how in real life he had a show kind of made about him. That's very meta.
Because there's something wrong with him. But John Hamm is now shadowing him, and he's siding with him on everything that's just wrong and indecent and goes against the rules of humanity. They're getting kicked out of restaurants, and he's like, yeah, screw you. He and Larry are... There's dueling Larry Davids. Oh, no, man. It's unbelievable. It's just... It's so funny, and you're like, I got to question myself. Does laughing at this diminish who I am as a person?
So is most of the comedy in that show just Larry David being a jerk and then people, and then you just kind of have to deal with it?
Yeah.
Because I've seen clips.
No filters.
Because I've seen clips of the show, and like there's a couple like, oh, yeah, that, you know, I get a little chuckle. But then I feel like when the big joke hits, I don't laugh. And I'm kind of worried that, like, if I watched this show, I would watch a couple episodes and I wouldn't laugh. And I would feel, like, painful inside. And, like, I would understand this. This is the joke they're going for. I get the joke, connected all the dots. Like, nothing's going over my head. But just, like, no humor, like, came out of me in the form of a laugh.
I understand what you mean. I don't think it's punchline humor.
Well, sure, but like
I mean, there's a line delivered in every episode of Seinfeld or whatever, and there's a laugh track.
Right.
There's no laugh track here. It's just like you have to sit there and say, all right, is that the most deep dive, witty, clever thing I've ever heard? Or is he the worst human being on the planet that's never actually murdered someone or caused physical harm?
That we know of.
I think it causes a conversation in your brain with yourself that you're not supposed to have watching comedy. I just think it's different. It's unique. And I'm telling you, you second guess yourself. He opened Latte Larry's next to Java Joe's just for spite.
Well, Latte Larry's is a better name. I'll give him that.
Just because the guy wouldn't cut him a break. He and John Hamm, I don't think the coffee's hot enough. And John Hamm dips his nose in it. No, it's not. And the owner of Java Joe's, you, Larry, out. You, he calls him Actor John Hamm. Get out. And they both like laugh and happily walk out like they accomplished something that day.
Well, see, like, I get that there's no like laugh track telling you, hey, that's the joke. Make sure you laugh. But like, I don't know if watching all of the seasons of Curb, if like I would, like, if I watched it with other people and they were laughing and they got the jokes, I feel like I wouldn't be laughing at the same time. It's the only comedy show that I have this fear with. I'm not sure that I would actually laugh watching it. I think I would be kind of like your wife. I'd be like, it's very cringy. I don't like the character. I can't stand it. I'd turn it off.
By the way, somebody just sent me a picture of their weekend fun, and it's two of his black labs.
Oh, cute.
So that's great. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Somebody's got a picture. Oh, God, this is classic. I got to send this one to you. The text is the night before the Civil War last January 2019, and it's a picture of he, his son, and Bill Walton.
Oh, nice.
That's good.
Couple of heroes.
Somebody texts, did either one of us ever give Brockmire a chance? The Hank Azaria. I saw the first episode, and I've kind of forgotten about it.
I watched three or four. I think I kind of, did I get through the first season? No, I for sure watched like three or four episodes. I thought it was okay.
Well, the opening episode is nuts.
It is, yeah. Oh, it's very.
He loses his mind.
It's
because
very over
of,
the top.
Yeah.
It's a funny show, and Hank Azaria was on with Le Batard Show a whole bunch, like promoting the first season.
Right.
So I was like, okay, like he's done a lot to promote it. It sounds very interesting. I like baseball. I like broadcasters. You know, this whole anti-hero thing kind of sounds fun and interesting. I'll give it a shot. And I think I watched half of the first season, and then I moved on.
Yeah, I gotta, you know, the thing is, right now, more than ever, really open for suggestions.
Right, yeah.
Because there ain't no games. And earlier today on Twitter, and I want to ask this question again, has a Friday ever felt less like a Friday than this particular Friday?
Thought it was Monday.
Because normally, this is a weekend. We'd have been racing. As a matter of fact, if Oregon...
We
wouldn't even be here right now. That you'd be right now midway through Joey Mack's pregame.
He'd be talking with Dana Altman. He'd be doing the pregame prep top. They'd be
right now. The game would start at 6 if they had won their first round game against OSU.
Oh, they won by 45.
They would be prepping for tonight's semifinal to get in tomorrow's final, and you'd be thinking about, well, now because of what's happened, have they maybe at least played themselves into a 3 seed? Is a 2 seed a possibility? Maybe if they win the conference tournament champion and the number 2 seed in the ACC gets knocked off, and you've been like, blah, 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 talking in circles. Yeah, there's no games. All right, 284-8571. It's your Oregon fuel injection hotline. Here's an idea we got to make a note of. Sweet 16 of sports movies, and we could have a vote. We could bracket this out.
Sports movies?
Sweet 6. Start with a Sweet 16. Okay. We'll come up with 16 sports movies, and we'll say, you know, during the course of a show, all right, for this segment, we're taking your votes via text or Twitter on blank versus blank.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, oh, all we have to do is come up with 16 sports movies.
Easy.
Put them into a bracket form, and then we just put the matchups on Twitter in the form of polls. We go through, we have one day, we'll have...
No, this is happening.
We'll have, like, the baseball regional, we'll have the kids, the uprising from kids who, like, beat the rival kind of division, which will be dominated by D2, the Mighty Ducks, as a 1 seed. the animated division, Space Jam, is a 1 seed. Baseball is going to be a loaded one, for sure. Maybe that you get a baseball north and a baseball south division or something like that, because...
It's doable.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to be doing this week. By the way,
all right.
Where I would have been—I mean, how many hours would I have spent watching basketball this weekend? 25. Instead,
yeah,
it's none.
Probably just 25 on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a wire-to-wire thing, by the way. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the most unbelievable week in the history of sports radio. Next, 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Mick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbrewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that's made to chill. Looking through the timeline, I am once again enjoying everybody's pictures of their pets. We had some fantastic contributions today. All of your doggos are looking, doggos and your cats as well, looking fantastic. Please continue to send them to us. They're all great. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Blake Griffin and Zion Williamson all said that they would be pledging upwards of $100,000 to help event staff and the various arenas that they play in. That's all awesome. We have updates from the NCAA saying that they're going to work on a plan to give spring athletes an extra year of eligibility, which is an actual right thing to do. We also have possible news from at Matt Norlander saying that CBS may still release what would have been their 68-team 2020 NCAA bracket, although I think it would send America into a deeper spiral than they're already in. I don't think it would go over well. It couldn't happen. Everybody would be too sad. Speaking of sad, another favorite Twitter account of the scores is at I've Pet That Dog. It's of a little boy, Gideon. He goes around various towns and places. He meets dogs. He pets them. He takes pictures with them. And he posts a quick little Twitter story about this dog. And today he posted his mom posted a screenshot that said, "Hi, this is Gideon's mom. With all that is going on right now, it seems wise for us to stay home as much as possible. Gideon is not giving up his project, but for the time being, he may have to make some changes. He would love to see pictures of your dogs. His DMs are open. Thank you for all the kindness you have shown for my son. Be safe and take care of each other." That's at I've Pet That Dog. And he still went through and he was printing up pictures of people's dogs and just holding them and talking about these dogs. It's fantastic. The content never ends. But our tweet of the day, I'm breaking the rules because all rules in sports have been broken. So shall the laws of the tweet of the day, because it's something that should have been the tweet of the day yesterday and I forgot about it. It's the most important thing that's ever happened in sports yesterday and I forgot it happened. It's from at Mark Zuckerman tweeting, "Meanwhile, they're still playing here in West Palm Beach, where Hunter Strickland gave up two home runs in the top of the eighth and has been pulled. Nationals now trail the Yankees 5-2. And our tweet of the day from yesterday from at Ripple in Time 17, who said, "Sorry, this is incredible. Baseball is canceled and Strickland is still giving up bombs."
Wow. That was aimed at you.
Oh, it was. Absolutely. I had a friend of mine tag me in it. My futile attempts of getting blocked by Hunter Strickland have not worked because I continue to call him a person who is adjacent to garbage. He just either isn't reading his tweets or hasn't blocked me yet. Probably either way. I'm still trying really hard. I loved this tweet so much in this moment, I printed it out. It's hanging on the corkboard in my office, right behind the Hunter Strickland, the Hunter Strickland baseball card that at Mount Booble sent to me like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, or whatever it was. I think he was still a giant and he was still breaking his hand punching doors or something like that. So I've printed out this tweet. I love it so much. I might get it framed. I don't know. So thanks to at Ripple in Time 17 for the refreshing tweet of the day. To see everybody's dogs, to see movie reviews that I may or may not be doing, to send me movie reviews, send me your dogs, all of it's at 953 the score on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers, RACKNOGERS. Apparently there's another Rick Nodgers Twitter account out there. It's
get out of here.
Rick Nodgers 86. That one's not me. I'm just Rick Nodgers. I planted my flag in that one. That's me. And Steve is on Twitter at sports at night. At Sports Talk 953. I still remembered it. That's not a fine. Don't be a jerk. Just do it.
Getting some good pictures of doggies that I just put a couple up on Twitter. Somebody suggested, and I think we talked about it yesterday, the This is SportsCenter promos, the best ones. And everybody references that Y2K one with Charlie Steiner and Mark McGwire. Steiner with his tie wrapped around his head, yelling, follow me to freedom. There's one with Jerry Stackhouse in the ESPN studios just laughing because he thinks Trey Wingo is just making up his name. He's like, ha, Trey Wingo, come on, man, what's your real name? And by the way, if you had to guess, when was the first This is SportsCenter promo featured on, ESPN? Just folks, as you're driving around out there, take a wild guess. There are no wrong answers except the one all of you are going
to
give.
Well, it has to be before Y2K, so you're looking at least 1999, but I'm going to say 1997.
Four.
Oh, really?
1994.
Wow.
And
those promos are old enough to drink.
Yeah.
Rent a car.
Quarter century. Think about it. It's 26 years old right now. The Manning brothers walking down the hall with dad in front of them like little kids trying to back kick each other. If you remember the one, geez, now this is probably 10 years ago, the Red Sox mascot walking past the offices when David Ortiz is in the room with Jorge Posada and he puts on the Yankee cap, just the look on his face. John Clayton in Mom's Basement.
Yes, with the ponytail.
Yeah.
Yes.
He finishes the segment, sits on his bed, breaks out the Chinese food. He's rocking out to metal, and he yells upstairs with the visible ponytail, "Mom, I'm done with my assignment."
I think he starts playing like heavy metal, too.
Totally meddling out. The one that everybody around here should remember, it was like during the heyday when game day was always coming here, the Oregon Duck the office looking longingly out the window. There's the Ducks, and then he just goes, big heavy sigh, and back to tapping away at the keyboard. Come on, that is brilliant stuff.
Wasn't there another one where Lee Corso was in it, and I think he had the duck head on, and he walked by the body of the duck, but the duck had on, like, Lee Corso's head or something like that? I think there was another one with Lee Corso wearing the duck head that I think was... I don't remember the specifics of it other than Lee Corso and a duck head, which really isn't helping for this, but that was another one that the duck was in, and it was very good.
Yeah, the one of him just tapping away at the keyboard and like just a big heavy sigh from the duck mascot. It's good. I'd have to go back and go more. Like I just said, you're talking about 25 years worth. And they've been doing a lot of them, you know, and you also get a little nostalgic because you'll see some really funny ones. Not Mike Tirico, the gentleman who died of, there it is.
So this is it's a college game day one, but it's Lee Corso wearing a suit, walking down a pathway, and he comes by the duck who's wearing a gigantic Lee Corso head, and they walk by each other like they're going to start a fight.
That's good. I kind of forgot about that one. That's a great trip down to memory lane. All right. Hey, folks, thanks for hanging with us. Be safe, be healthy, be wise. We look forward to chatting you up on Monday. Thanks for hanging for Crunch Time and Sports Talk right here on 95.3 The Score.